Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Originally from Seattle, Washington, Major John Chamness is the son and grandson of Presbyterian pastors. While in property management, he was drawn to the Salvation Army's practical ministry, a ministry that led to developing the model of Salvation Army Crux Centers for the nation. It started in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, with John and his wife, Major Lonnie Chamness, leading the capital campaign and development. A $70 million recreational, educational, and arts facility grew to 22,000 members in the first year. Growth, timing, wisdom, and skill. Embodied by God's grace, as you will soon hear him share heart-to-heart with you in the life of John Chamness. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program is to bring you, dear friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know and to hear, even through John, how Christ has made a difference in his life and how Christ can and will make a difference in your life too if you open your heart to Jesus. God loves you so much, dear one, that he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. My friend, the living Christ today calls you to himself. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter how bad things might be, would you open your heart to Jesus? That's our hope. That's our prayer. Major John Chamness and his wife, Major Lonnie Chamness, are the divisional leaders for the Salvation Army Hawaiian and Pacific Islands Division, covering Hawaii, Guam, Saipan, the Federated States of Micronesia, and the Marshall Islands. They have three children, Lindsay, Mitchell, and Camille. Major Chamness, welcome to our show.
Aloha.
I mentioned Seattle, Washington. Tell us more of where you grew up.
Wow. As you alluded to, Danny, I grew up in Seattle. My father was a Presbyterian pastor there in at Wedgwood Presbyterian Church. And unfortunately, when I was about 4 years old, 5 years old, my mom and dad got a divorce. And in the 1960s, you know, that was a devastating thing to our family, to go through a divorce, to especially with my father in ministry. And my mom eventually remarried a couple of years later, and we moved north to Marysville, Washington, where I grew up on a small farm. And there, my stepdad did an amazing job of really raising me and providing a really godly figure of a person who lived his life for Jesus. And one of the things that I will always remember about my stepdad is that over the years, he would find people in need. You'd be driving home from work and a family would be stranded on this side of the road, and he would stop and help them and find out that they needed more than gas. They needed a place to stay and a job. And so he would often bring these families home to our little farm where he would give them a place to stay and give them a job, something to do. And he always told me, John, one of the most important things you can do for a man is to give him a job to restore his dignity, put some money in his pocket so he can take care of himself and his family. Mm-hmm. And give him a place to stay. And that has stuck with me over the years. And I think it's a big reason that I'm a part of the Salvation Army today, because the Salvation Army has such a practical approach to ministry. Our founder, William Booth, had a saying, soup, soap, and salvation. Before he can meet a man to Christ or a woman to Christ, you got to put some food in their stomach. And then you got to clean them up, give them a place to stay, restore their dignity. And then once you've done those things, then you've earned the opportunity to share Christ with them. And that has just always stuck mm-hmm. with me, that example that my father provided for me as a young boy growing up. So,
sounds like your dad, your stepdad, your dad had such an influence on you. What do you feel in that, in those years growing up of his influence, that has stayed with you even now that you're a part of the Salvation Army?
One was an entrepreneurial spirit. My dad was always starting something new. He owned everything from construction company to a cement company to a tax business, and finally a couple of care homes and actually a seafood market and a charter business. He was really into sailing, and something that he loved to do was to sail. And he, in retirement, bought a big sailboat and used to race it from San Diego to Cabo San Lucas. And he would actually charge people to come on board and to do that with him. And while he was having fun on the sailboat, I was up running the seafood market in Seattle, selling fish. So hard work, being an entrepreneur, and really having a practical approach to helping people.
You mentioned practical approach. You were in property management.
Yeah.
So you have a real estate background. I see this Coeur d'Alene, the model of the Red Croc, Salvation Army Red Croc Center. I see what you've done here in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Tell us how that journey took place.
Yeah, that was really, you know, that was one of those once in a lifetime opportunities that it just fell into our lap. That was absolutely amazing. To give a little background, Joan Croc was the wife of Ray Croc, and Ray Croc had been on the Salvation Army Advisory Board in Chicago and had always, you know, known of the Salvation Army and supported us over the years. And Joan Croc came to the Salvation Army, I believe, in about 2002, somewhere around there. And I believe she knew at that point she was dying. She had cancer. Nobody knew. And Joan wanted to do something significant for communities across the country. And she was always famously listening or finding out about people in need, and through her agents would provide for a family or for a community. And she said to the Salvation Army, I'd love to build a community center. I want you guys to dream big and come with this plan and present it to me. And Joan was not a person that you would approach. She was one that would actually do her homework on you and come to you instead of you going to her. And the Salvation Army came back with a plan of about a $10 million community center. It had a gym and a chapel and some other things. Really not that extravagant. And when she looked at the plan, she pushed back and says, you guys don't get it. I want you to dream big. Go back to the drawing board and return to me with a bigger plan. And so we did that. And we came back with this plan with a library, a full performing arts theater, swimming pools, an NHL hockey rink, because we learned that Joan liked to ice skate, a skateboard park. I mean, it was just endless. It was about
really
a 200,000 square foot building. And we thought, you know, Joan will come back and she'll go, well, I like this and this. And she said, after looking at the plan, I love it. And we thought, well, which part do you love? And she goes, all of it. And so that's how that first Croc Center in San Diego came about. It was her vision and passion. She wanted to change this community in San Diego that was impoverished and on the decline. And what happened in that community was absolutely amazing. How it began to regentrify that neighborhood and bring people back in and give hope and opportunities that weren't there beforehand. Well, just before she passed away, I think that impressed Joan so much that she ended up changing her will and leaving the bulk of her estate to the Salvation Army with the expressed instructions to build these centers across the country. And her estate ended up being $1.6 billion that she gave to the Salvation Army, the largest single philanthropy gift ever given to a nonprofit by a single person up to that point. And so that's kind of when I got involved. And I was in Seattle at the time. I was the divisional secretary for business in Seattle. And my job was to oversee all the business of the Salvation Army in the inland north or the northwest from Seattle to Spokane and up into Montana. And we were looking at a couple different sites. One of them happened to be Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where an amazing mayor, Mayor Sandy Bloom, came with this great vision about what we could do in that community. And so my wife and I moved there along with our three kids to North Idaho to kind of lead up this project. And it was absolutely amazing how God lined everything up. I mean, it was absolutely looking impossible at one point that this thing was going to just, we're going to have to tank it and go do someplace else. We had a site that had been given to us by the city, a 10-acre, 12-acre site that needed to have over a million cubic yards of dirt, had to be moved out of the site and then new dirt brought into the site. An impossible task that, you know, probably would have taken years and about a lot of money to do. But we had a developer step up and said, I'm going to give you our 10-acre site out on the prairie. You can take all the dirt that's there and you can bring it into your site, and you can take all the dirt that's on your site and take it out to my site. And then the city came forth with $3 million and they said, we'll pay for it. But all these things just started to come together. And in about 3 years, we went from nothing to a building that was 130,000 square feet that cost, you know, $44 million with an endowment that had $44 million. That's where the $90 million comes from. But an absolutely amazing thing occurred when we opened the doors to that facility. It was amazing to see how that community responded. And we went from no members to 14,000 members the first month. And by the end of the first year, 22,000 members. And my wife and I planted a church in the midst of that. We went from a group of about 22 to 30 that had been meeting with us in the library for the past 6 months to 400 our first Sunday. So we were just blown away by the response of this community. And over, my wife and I would comment to each other, there's no way this would have occurred if God hadn't been in the middle of it. And that was all of these things coming together as they did, just confirmed that God was in the midst of this amazing thing.
The tail end of what Major John Chamness said. He said, God is in the middle of this. It wouldn't have happened if it weren't for God. You ever wonder how God uses certain people or why God uses certain people and not others? Well, I think there's a moment of clarity here. I think there's a certain level of trust and trusting that God has with certain people. He knows that when big things happen, they're not going to turn in and grab all the glory and grab all the credit. And I did it. If God didn't call me, it wouldn't have happened. It was, you know, God needed me to do it. And sometimes we need the reminder in our own lives of a little, well, moment of self-reflection, evaluation. Something that seems so subtle, but it actually isn't. Because if we want God to use us, there needs to be an ability for God to trust us, not just us trusting in Him. When we come back more from Major John Chamness, I am wondering, though, and I'll ask him, if he ever dreamed that he would be doing the things that he's doing now. To be a part of receiving as a part of the Salvation Army, a $1.6 billion gift from Joan Kroc. How about you? Have you dreamt of where you are today? Maybe? Can you imagine what God will do in your life as you draw closer to Him, as you seek Him and He sees, I can trust that dear daughter of mine, that dear son of mine, and I'm going to entrust him or her with more. More from John Chamness, Major John Chamness, when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Majors John and Lonnie Chamness, their service in the Salvation Army included 4 years in the Marshall Islands. They've been all over as God has used them. You can find out more at salvationarmy.org. If you'd like to hear this program in its entirety, maybe you tuned in and you heard the first or a part of the first segment, you can get the program in its entirety as a free gift, free podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, Major John Chamness. Major, did you ever dream that God would use you in the way that he's using you today?
Not at all. You know, I grew up a pretty simple kid in a small town on a small farm. And I did dream of traveling to Hawaii when I was a kid, when I saw that Brady Bunch special on Hawaii. And actually I had an auntie and uncle that lived here in Hawaii for decades. In fact, my uncle still lives here on the Big Island, and we just celebrated he and my auntie's 50th wedding anniversary 2 weeks ago. So it was great to go over to the Big Island and celebrate that with them. But, you know, I didn't. You know, I loved playing soccer growing up. I thought, you know, maybe I'd play soccer. I loved sailing. When I was 21, I bought my first sailboat, a 40-foot sailboat, and it was my dream to fix that boat up and sail to Hawaii and beyond and maybe go around the world. And God had different plans for me, and that's actually when I became a Christian. I was 21 years old. I just returned from a couple of months in Europe backpacking with a buddy, and came home, and God just really got a hold of me. And I still vividly remember, you know, how he came and transformed my life at a point where I was uncertain of where I was going and what I was doing. And through a Bible study that my brother was involved with, a small group at University Presbyterian Church in Seattle, God really got a hold of me at that point, and I just I couldn't get enough of God. I was involved in teaching Sunday school and going to church, and that was the point, Danny, that I got introduced to the Salvation Army. And I was really involved at the Presbyterian Church, but I wanted to get more involved. I really felt that God was calling me to missions, and I went to one of the pastors and I said, I want to do this, and we sat down, we chatted through that a little bit, and I wasn't really satisfied with the answer that he gave me, and so I left. And I had also been introduced to the Salvation Army at that point by a friend that I worked with in Seattle, and she invited me. She goes, hey, I heard you became a Christian. You want to come to church with me? And I said, oh, yeah, I'd love to come to church. And And she goes, you know, I go to the Salvation Army. And she goes, you knew it was a church. And I lied. And I said, oh, yeah, I knew it was a church. I had no idea. I mean, growing up, I knew thrift stores and Christmas kettles. And that's all I knew of the Salvation Army. But when I went there, I saw something different. I saw a place where people got up and testified about what God was doing in their life. I saw a church that got out of the pews and actually went out onto the streets to evangelize and to reach out to those that are in need, impoverished, that were living homeless. I saw the Salvation Army involved in addiction treatment programs and unwed mother programs. And, you know, the list just goes on and on of all the different practical ministries that the Salvation Army was involved in. So way back growing up in Marysville, I never imagined the places that God would take me. I mean, join the army and see the world. I just joined a different army that happens to have Salvation as its middle name, the Salvation Army. And it's just been an incredible journey the last 28 years.
You know, I so appreciate your sharing that, because I think the extreme majority of people have no idea what the Salvation Army does. And it's wonderful for you to share with us some of the different ministries. I mean, there are just so many, and that it is so Christian. So thank you.
Why is it? So what did Mr. Booth have in mind when he created the structure of the Salvation Army, like an army? What was the rationale behind that?
Yeah, William Booth was a Methodist minister back in England, and he was a circuit preacher. He'd go from church to church, just encouraging the flock. And he came to a point where he was recognizing the growing impoverished community, especially in the south end of London, where you know, the world was changing. It was becoming industrialized. People were moving from the country back to the city. And he was disturbed that the church wasn't doing anything about what he referred to as the submerged tent, the forgotten people. And he would see people living underneath London Bridge. And he felt that the church had a responsibility to respond to that. And he famously said to his son, Bramwell Booth, when he saw those people living under the bridge, Bramwell, do something about this. Do something, Bramwell. And it was a social mission of Christianity. And so William Booth hoped that, you know, he could, as he got people converted, that he could then introduce them to the existing church. But the existing church wasn't ready to receive those that were living on the margins at that point. And so he started the Salvation Army Church. We call them CORE. They used a lot of military metaphors. I guess it was popular at that time, wearing uniforms and brass bands and using military lingo. I guess was really popular in the 1860s London. Not so popular today, but but I tell you, this uniform has opened doors wherever I go. When I'm at the airport, I always get asked to carry people's bags. But it also opens up great opportunities for me when I go to the governor's office. The governor recognizes this uniform. The mayor recognizes the uniform. They might not know my name, but they know it's the Salvation Army. Likewise, when I'm on the street, when I'm down in Chinatown handing out peanut butter jelly sandwiches on Sunday night, the homeless recognize that this is a uniform they can trust. Mm-hmm. It's a uniform of compassion, of love, of grace, of mercy, of kindness. And it's that Salvation Army with our weapon of love and and scripture and leading people to Christ. Our mission statement says that our purpose, our mission, is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to meet human needs in his name without discrimination. One of our generals also said that our job is to save souls, grow saints, and serve suffering humanity. It's this three-pronged approach to really addressing, I think, a lot of the human misery that we see around us, that we need to do more than just preach the gospel. Certainly, that's first and foremost. But we must respond by helping in a practical way. Didn't Jesus say that in Matthew chapter 25, where he said, you know, talks about the sheep and the goats, and unless you've done it unto the least, one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so I think that's the calling, at least, of the Salvation Army, that it's not enough just to preach the word of God. but we have to go out and serve mankind. We have to love God and love man. Love God, mm-hmm. love man. So,
you have a, God has instilled in you a grace of compassion, but also a grace of action. And some refined gifts to be able to work with sophisticated components of society to make things happen. How did you and Lonnie meet?
Great story. So my wife actually grew up here in Hawaii. She's a local girl born on Kauai. Her parents were Salvation Army officers. Mm-hmm. They immigrated from the Philippines, her dad before World War II, her mom after World War II. Lovely story of how, you know, they came together. And so they started Salvation Army ministries throughout Hawaii over the last several decades. And both Lonnie and I were called to ministry at the same time. And we did not know of each other, although even in Seattle, I heard, oh, you're going to meet this girl when you go to the Salvation Army Seminary. Her name is Lonnie. She has long hair and she sings beautifully. And that was my perfect ideal of what my wife should look like someday. But we actually met the very first day of seminary, and we became really great friends. And over the months and years that we were there, the 2 years that we were there, we fell in love and got engaged. And a year later, we got married here in Hawaii, up on Nuuanu. So,
Did you think that you would come back? Was that ever foreshadowed?
To Hawaii? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, Lonnie and I have been really fortunate. Right out of seminary, the Salvation Army has this big ceremony where we are commissioned and we're ordained. And then in the Sunday afternoon, they have what's called the appointment service. And one by one, we walk out onto the stage and our territorial leader will open up a card and he will say, oh, John, you've been appointed to such and such a place. Well, it just happened that both Lonnie and I got appointed here to Hawaii in 1989. And we spent our first 13 years here in Hawaii and then went back to the mainland for 10. And now we've been back for 5. So we've spent 18 years of our ministry right here in Hawaii and Micronesia and have just absolutely loved every bit of it.
Sounds like God might have been in the middle of that appointment.
Yeah. He's been in the middle of so many things in our lives. I mean, you look back over the years and you just start looking at how things came together, and it's not coincidence. It's not by chance. It's, you know, Lonnie and I have said our lives are devoted to you, God. We will go wherever you want us to go. We'll do whatever you want us to do. Our lives are a sacrifice to you. And we just are so grateful for the places that he's taken us and the opportunities that we've had to be involved in ministry.
When we come back, challenges. What challenges have you faced as part of the Salvation Army? What challenging areas have you gone to? You mentioned Micronesia, and mm-hmm. I think there's probably a certain level of unawareness. Let's say it that way: unawareness of what it's like and what the needs might be, and other places that the Salvation Army more broadly are a part of or are in, integrated, doing work. I'm wondering if we can speak a little bit about that when we come back. Major John Chamness, sitting with us, sharing heart to heart, as we typically do. You know, under Major John and Lonnie Chamness, the Salvation Army, Hawaiian and Pacific Division, is one of the largest nonprofit organizations in the state of Hawaii, serving over 117,000 adults and 23,000 children. When we come back, he'll share with us about challenges. It'll relate to you and me. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there,
Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
When I was a little boy, five, six, 7 years old, I had a job to do on Sundays. After church at Kalihi Union Church, my dad would get in the car with him, and he would drive down close to Nu'uanu Avenue, and I would stop next to this Salvation Army sign. And my job was to go up there and get my grandfather, who was worshiping at church. He would always put on his suit, but it was a Japanese service that he would be at. Reverend Thomas Taba was the pastor. I remember his name. And I'd go get my grandfather, my Gigi. I said, Gigi, and I would go in, and the little boy and all the older people would be there. They'd so happy to see the little boy come in. And we'd go and we'd get our grandpa would get his weekly lunch at Jack in the Box, and it was a routine. Here I am today with Major John Chamness. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm so grateful you're with us. You can find out more about the Salvation Army, salvationarmy.org, and this program and others like it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. John, there are so many aspects of what the Salvation Army does, providing a well-established, comprehensive network of community programs, adult day health services, at-risk youth housing, social services, emergency assistance, substance abuse treatment, work therapy, and so much more. As you have led and been involved in some very challenging places, what to you have been some of those that really stand out?
In regards to the challenges?
Challenging and challenging areas.
Certainly always raising money for programs is a challenge. Mm-hmm. That's certainly a big part of what we constantly are doing to fund all the different activities that we're involved in. I think anytime you deal with people, you deal with a lot of challenges. And, you know, one of our biggest ministries here in Hawaii is dealing with men and women who are dealing with a drug or alcohol addiction. Mm. Last year, we treated over 5,000 individuals here in Hawaii for primarily crystal meth is the drug of choice by about 75% of those that we treat. Certainly, it's something that's just creating havoc for families across our great state. It's such a cheap drug, but it gives such a great high that, you know, I have people that will tell me, I would be willing to sell my kid, mm-hmm. or I would be willing to give up my kid, or whatever, just to get the next high. It is such a powerful drug. And when you deal with people, you deal with all the stuff that comes along with that. And so many that we treat have burned every bridge, have unfortunately done a lot of harmful things to themselves and others that, you know, big part of what they need to do in their rehabilitation is to go back and to begin saying they're sorry to those that they've hurt. That's a part of the 10 steps of, you know, part of the 12-step program is to go back and to start apologizing to those that you've hurt. And so, you know, it's just helping somebody to see that there's hope. Somebody helping, you know, a teenager who has gotten pregnant out of wedlock, who has no place else to turn, giving that young girl hope that there's actually an opportunity for her in life, giving that drug addict who feels like there's no place else to turn, that they've destroyed their life and there's no hope for them. I think that's one of the hugest things that we can give to people in our community is to remember that in Christ there's always hope, that in Christ there's always that opportunity for us to be reborn and to be forgiven and to be made new, you know, that new creation in Christ that Paul spoke about. And that's a huge challenge sometimes in just helping people to see that and to realize that and to recognize it. It's a hard thing for a person without hope to ever get to that point where they can begin believing that again. And so that's what we try to do. We try to come alongside individuals who have just had a very difficult life. I mean, many of the women that we deal with, you know, early on in life, unfortunately had to deal with some difficult often family issues where maybe they were abused by an uncle or brother or a dad or stepdad. They were introduced to marijuana or alcohol or crystal meth, and suddenly their life is in turmoil and they've been abused. They've been, you know, there was a young girl that came out to one of our camps and she talked about her boyfriend prostituted her in Waikiki, you know, at the age of 14, 15 years old. And so a lot of these ladies are dealing with post-traumatic stress syndrome, and mm-hmm. they've had so much abuse that's been put upon them throughout life that they just can't believe that anybody would like them, much less love them or care for them or give them that second chance. And that's what we try to do. We just try to come alongside and begin rebuilding these lives, begin rebuilding kind of that hope and that knowledge that in Christ alone they can find hope in new life.
Have you seen some that have come through the dismal conditions of the drug addiction? Have you seen any of them graduate from the Salvation Army Seminary? Have you seen?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact,
tell us a story.
Yeah. Just this last weekend, we had what's called our Future Officers Fellowship in Los Angeles. And so about six young adults went over to Los Angeles for a couple of days to learn more about our seminary. And one young man who was a graduate of our Adult Rehabilitation Center went with that group. And this young man, to hear his story and where he has come from, he talks about how he was, you know, he went to the mainland, went to school, and fortunately got introduced to alcohol and eventually drugs and came back to Hawaii. He owned his own condo over in Eva Beach and ended up losing his condo because of his addiction, ended up crashing his car, living homeless on the street. And he was sitting there on a Sunday night going, God, if you are real, then I want you to send somebody here to give me a sandwich because I'm hungry, God. And if somebody comes along with the sandwich, then I'll believe in you. And we have a group called Revolution Hawaii. These are young adults that come from around the world, much like YWAM, where we spend a year discipling and mentoring them. But a part of what they do is on Sunday nights, they go into Chinatown to do outreach and ministry. And this young man was sitting there, you know, on the side of the street down by River Street, and along came Rev High with a sandwich, And they sat down and chatted with him for a bit. And then they said, oh, by the way, here's a sandwich. And he turned over that sandwich and it said on the back, if you want help with your addiction, the Adult Rehabilitation Center would like to welcome you. And he went down the street and got checked in. And he's been clean and sober for 3 years now. And he's interested in becoming a Salvation Army pastor. But he's one of many. I mean, there's the gentleman that's running the center here in town is also a graduate of the Adult Rehabilitation Center. So, you know, that those are God's trophies, you know, where God takes people that oftentimes society casts to the side. But that's what the Salvation Army does best. We go find those that have been cast aside and restore hope, restore purpose, put some money in their pocket, give them a shower, put some food in their stomach, and then introduce them to Jesus.
Soap and salvation.
You got it.
You know, Danny knows I love acronyms.
Yeah.
And the acronym I've learned for HOPE is helping others prepare for eternity. Hmm. And nobody does it better than the Salvation Army.
We try hard. I mean, there's certainly lots of other great organizations out there, lots of great churches down, you know, out on the streets, providing great service to men and women that are homeless and otherwise just seeking help. I hope that we together as the body of Christ, you know, that's the great image of the body, right? We all have our part. Our part's where we're at right now. But there's other parts that also come together to support and help. And together, man, I just think of what could happen here if we, the church, could really get this right and really do what God has called us as a church to do together, the body of Christ coming together.
You and Lonnie have done some work in the Marshall Islands, Micronesia. What was your experience like ministering there?
Beautiful, beautiful.
Describe it for us.
So my wife and I were appointed there in 1990. So we were there for 4 years in the Marshall Islands. And my boss at the time, Joe Noland, he said, "What I want," because this was the beginning of the work of the Salvation Army in Micronesia. So he said, "I want you guys just to start here and start planning our churches across Micronesia. Go find local people who have an affinity for the Salvation Army, disciple them, equip them, train them, and then turn them loose and let them plant the Salvation Army in their community." So we did that. And we had the main church that we oversaw pastored in Madro and Rita, the Rita Corps, as we call it. And then we got the Laura Salvation Army started on the other end of the island. Then we went to Kwajalein and got a small church planted in Kwajalein, and from there to Ponape, and then Chuuk, and eventually to Guam. So, you know, through the grace of God and through some great help from some others, we were able to identify, you know, some local people and train them up and turn them loose. And today we have 16 churches across Micronesia. So in the last 30 years, we've planted 16 churches. We could plant more, but we need more resources and more people to train to take on more ministry.
Well, when we come back, how do you find more people to train? How, for example, if someone is listening today and their ears perk up or their something happens within them, they say, "Hey, I want to find out more how to get involved." What are some various avenues by which people can get involved and even support? Someone might think, "Wow, they got a $1.6 billion donation from Joan Kroc. Man, they've got it going on." What would be some other ways for that to take place? When we come back from our break, hey, we're getting an opportunity today. I hope you realize how special this is to get an inside view of the Salvation Army. I would imagine you're quite surprised at not only the breadth of what they do, but the quality by which they do it, with excellence, with certainly with compassion, but with the clarity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through the clarity and the power of the gospel, lives are being changed, continuously being changed. And there's more to come. And there's more to be shared, more for us to receive from Major John Chamness. When we come back, stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Hawaii.salvationarmy.org. Hawaii.salvationarmy.org. That's how you can find out more about what's happening here at the Salvation Army, what Major John Chamness is doing, what he's leading, and he and his wife Lonnie have been a part of for, well, throughout their lives, their careers, their career of service to God and to God's people and to people that the Lord wants to reach all over the world. The Good Life Hawaii, I'm Danny Yamashiro, Suzanne Maurer, and Major John Chamness with us today. When you think about resources, for example, John, someone might think, well, Salvation Army just has loads of money. I mean, we talk about Kroc Center, we talk about $1.6 billion, the largest donation given nationally to a nonprofit organization. Resources. What do you mean that there are resources needed to plant more churches, to do more of what's being done today?
Yeah. So, great question. So, in regards to resources, that $1.6 billion is spent. Half of that went to the construction of the facilities, and the other half sits in the bank, and the interest off of that helps to support the ongoing operation of those Kroc centers. And Joan was very specific. Couldn't be used for any of other of our ministries. It could only be used for our Kroc centers.
And there are 26 across the country?
Yep, 26 centers across the country. And great ministries taking place, great opportunities for really a community to come together in a powerful way. So that's just one of our many ministries here in Hawaii.
What states are the Kroc Center? You mentioned Boston, Hawaii.
Boston, Oregon, Chicago, Washington. Oregon, Idaho, California, Arizona, and I'm not going to remember them all. Mm-hmm. Michigan, Indiana.
Anything in the South?
There are several in the South. Kerrville, Indiana, Atlanta.
Texas?
I'm just... Kerrville, Texas, there is. Yeah. So I don't remember where they're all located, but certainly, you know, that gift was given for a very specific purpose. And what we always do when a gift is given is honor the intent of that gift. So if a donor says, I want you to use it here, we make sure that it goes there. And so the other ministries here that we have in Hawaii that we constantly are trying to fund are addiction treatment programs. Mm-hmm. Our family intervention services on the Big Island, where young teens that are often in trouble, or maybe their family's in a very difficult situation, and the boy or the girl can't stay in the house at that point. The Salvation Army will receive them, and we have a couple of safe houses around the Big Island and on Maui where we can take these kids to make sure that they're well taken care of and they're not in a dangerous situation. There's our family service office. We have them all around the state, but one right down here on Vineyard Street in Ala, where we literally help thousands of people every year with a bag of food, with rent assistance, with utility assistance, with all of those things that families, you know, in crisis come to us and say, I'm going to get evicted, or I'm going to, you know, I can't pay my utility bill, or I need new clothes for a job interview. Whatever that might be, we try the best that we can to accommodate those needs the best we can. And the only way that we can do that is with the support of the community who, through their great trust in the Salvation Army, says, we're going to give you these resources because we know that you're going to do the right thing with those resources. And, you know, we help anybody and everybody that we can that comes through the door. We don't discriminate against anybody. And that's been, you know, there have been some that have said that we discriminate against this group or that group, but we don't. We help anybody and everybody that we can because we feel that that's what Jesus would have done. Jesus didn't turn people away because they looked differently or acted differently. We believe that we need to just provide that assistance without discriminating against anybody. So,
if someone wanted to contribute,
yeah,
What would be the best way for them to do that?
Give me a call. No, you know, going on our website is a great way to find out more about us. I think, you know, people need to do their homework like Joan Kroc did. She found out about us. She made sure that we were reliable, that we used the gift in the right way. 82 cents out of every dollar given to the Salvation Army goes right back into to direct service. I think when somebody puts a quarter in our kettle or sends in a check for $1,000, that they want to make sure that that money's getting used the right way. And that's what we do, regardless if it's that, you know, 25 cents or that $1,000 gift. We want to make sure that we, you know, meet the donor's intent and try to help as best we can.
There's a lifelong trust that's developed, well, more than one life, or many lives, because of the way you've handled the Salvation Army has handled the resources that God has given through people making the sacrifices to give. What about service, being involved in church planting, being involved in service in some of the drug addiction or recovery programs?
So on our website at hawaii.salvationarmy.org, you can find out about our many different ministries throughout Hawaii. And if somebody wanted to get involved in one of our churches, we have 4 here on Oahu. We have 12 statewide. You can simply Google Salvation Army in Hanapepe or Lihue or Honoka'a. And we have little churches scattered throughout the state. And in those same churches, we often have social ministry opportunities. So in Hanapepe or Lihue, we have a soup kitchen where several days a week we provide a hot meal to families or individuals that are in need of a hot meal. If you go to Hilo, the same sort of services provided for families in need there. Mm-hmm. In Kona, it might be a bag of food, or up in Honoka'a, the same thing. So really practical ministries that will take place at each one of our churches. We have our addiction treatment programs, and to be involved in an addiction treatment program, you really have to have the qualifications and the kind of the background to be involved in something like that. But we're always looking for people that want to be mentors, people that want to come alongside one of our graduates. And that leads me to a program that we've recently started called the Pathway of Hope. We have found that when people come out of our addiction treatment programs, lots of life changes has occurred. They're on the right path. They're heading in a positive direction, maybe for the first time or second or third time in their life. But things are really beginning to come together for them. But what we hear from our graduates all the time is, when I graduate, where am I going to live? I don't have any resources, so I'm going to either have to couch surf or be homeless again. So where am I going to live? Who's going to hire me? I have a really, unfortunately, bad track record of employment in the past. So who's going to hire me? And who's going to be my new best friend? Because if I go back to my old neighborhood, if I go back to my family, I'm very likely to go back to the things that I did before that were destructive and led me down this path of negativity. And so we've developed this pathway of hope to focus on those three things: helping people find a secure, safe place to live, helping people to get a good job. And we've got many companies here in Hawaii that are willing to hire our graduates and give them an opportunity to prove themselves, and then connecting them to new friends. And we see that happening through the church, where this is a great place for the church to come alongside our graduates and have them be involved in your small group, or have them, you know, come and be involved in your church or whatever that might be. There's no better place than the church, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a big part of what the church is about, to embrace people and to bring them in and to mentor and disciple them and to help them to grow in their faith and help them to understand how they can begin overcoming some of these challenges and obstacles that are in their past.
You know, Danny, my parents set aside a gift to the Salvation Army in their wills.
That could be another way.
That's a great way. We have a lot of people that do that have a planned gift. And we have a whole development team that help people to do that. They can sit down and talk with our staff about, you know, when they go to glory or are promoted to glory, as we say, that they can leave that gift or a gift to the Salvation Army that can live in perpetuity and be that ongoing gift that just keeps on giving.
A legacy.
Yep.
A legacy gift.
Yeah.
Again, John, it was hawaii.salvationarmy.org.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being with us
today. Thanks. Yeah. It's been a blessing. It's been great.
My friend, I hope that you were encouraged in this time that we had with Major John Chamness. Again, hawaii.salvationarmy.org. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. If so, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation set up for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. I thank you in advance. Matthew 6:26, Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Major John Chamness. Again, hawaii.salvationarmy.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, and guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.